It's an interesting point about a piece like this, that there's so much emotion inherent in it that comes from the composer. It's about this woman who he loved, who didn't love him back, and there's all this drama around it. How important is it to you to know the emotional state of the composer? How much is it about just what's on the page, and how much of it is about just your interpretation when you're playing a piece like this?
I think it's a little bit about everything. Of course, it's very useful and very good to know what the composer was going through when he wrote the piece. I think it's essential. But I think music also shows us what it is about. It's quite obvious that the first movement is about, it's a love explanation with all, all the extreme emotions
that you can hear it. You can hear him go through the emotion of loneliness, and then the strings join in, and the strings are saying it's okay. They're not being sympathetic, but they're kind of being, it's okay, don't worry. And then when the basses come in, it's an entirely different emotion. It's as the instruments join, it seems to be that the emotion becomes more intense.
Yes, and it's so interesting that it sounds so romantic. I mean, Bartok, one would imagine something more edgy and atonal. The second concerto is more like that. But in the first concerto, you can see the lyrical side, the really sensitive side of this composer. And of course, then we have the second movement. It's a little bit the opposite of the first. It's like two, it's actually also called two portraits. So the second movement, it's more like I don't know, it's so difficult to describe, because there are moments, sometimes in the rehearsal we used to say, we should play it like a Disney movie. Some spots like Mickey Mouse or Pluto, and you have all sorts of characters there. Fun, but also desperate, and also like devil. And I think it's just very, very interesting piece that has so many faces. And it's a short piece, relatively short concerto, and has so much to say.
But the second movement looks just impossible and sounds impossible to play.
Well, the problem with Bartok is always that he changes the tempi so rapidly, and you have to change the character. It's like from the one extreme to the other. I think that's the most difficult technically. But I think with an orchestra like Philadelphia Orchestra and with Yannick, it's just so natural, and then things work out themselves. It was very nice to kind of get to know the piece together. I had played it before, like many, many years ago, but when we came to the first rehearsal, it was like rediscovering the piece together, and I found it very, very interesting to go through together.
Was there a big difference between now and then, or now and before?
Well, certainly. I mean, I have meanwhile also studied many other pieces also by Bartok, and going back, I don't really remember how I played it last time, because it was many years ago. But for me, it was a rediscovery, and also simply going to a concerto that is very close to my heart. Somehow I've always felt that this piece, like the Prokofiev First Violin Concerto, it has similar beginnings. And I think that these are the pieces that I feel very close to.
A lot of musicologists and music historians have an objection to the fact that Bartok didn't want this piece performed or published in his life, and indeed it wasn't even performed until 50 years after it was written, and some people say it's not a proper composition of his because he didn't authorize it. Have you ever thought about that, or do you have any concerns about it? Or say, when you compare it with the second, is there enough Bartok in there for it to be Bartok?
I mean, it's interesting because so many composers have had these issues, because they were, and he was so self-critical. I think there's a part of his character that simply he was not happy, because he maybe didn't really accomplish this piece, because it's only two movements. The second concerto is three big movements, and it is more complete. But I think that in our days today, this is such a treasury. I mean, it would be such a shame not to play the piece and just, you know, leave it like that.
We talked earlier, before we began talking on the microphone, about your travels down here earlier this week from New York. You seem to be somebody who, more than the normal soloist, takes on a lot of travel. You're going on tours with two orchestras this year, I believe Rotterdam and with New York. Do you like the traveling part of this job?
Actually, I try to organize my life so that I don't travel too much, and I only really take the projects that inspire me, that are special to me. So for me, I take it as a something, as a part of the whole thing, and I think that if I'm having such a good time on stage, it's really for a good reason. So for me, there is no evening on the stage that is irrelevant. There's always a special partner on the stage with me, which I admire a lot, and I think for that experience it's really worth it.
So the hour of actual music making or less is worth the 23 hours of hassle to get to it.
Well, I don't do that all the time either. This year it was a few intercontinental flights, but that's also with very special musical partners. So that I want to do. But then I also take a lot of time off in between, and then I'm at home with my children, which is also very important for me.
Can you put a little bit of context to this this Bartók piece in the context of the rest of this program? When you looked at this program and saw the Barber and the Bruckner, does that affect you in any way in the way you approach it? Are you trying to help with the context of the program?
First of all, I think that Yannick was absolutely right to put a piece like a Barber Adagio just before Bartók. It would have been a shame to start with a Bartók because you need a kind of a piece to prepare it, and Barber Adagio is a perfect piece to find the right atmosphere for Bartók. And of course, the Bruckner, I mean, it could also stand by itself, but of course you want to put something in the first half, and I'm really looking forward. I think it's a really, really fantastic programming by Yannick, the pieces that go very well together.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.